I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right. Welcome to episode 115 of Digital Divination. And unlike our past 50 episodes, there's no Ron, so there's no disclaimer.
No need to be a disclaimer.
Yes. Yeah, Ron is away at Gen Con having a grand old time, as he has told us here. And we are home doing other stuff. But yeah, we still got
it in our faces.
Well, he's not doing any of that stuff. I mean, and he's probably going to make swag back for us. You know, you never know.
Never know.
But we can still talk about things like the keynote and some of the stuff that was released for Starfinder Second Edition playtest.
Yeah, it's exciting. Not all of it yet, because there's still some more stuff that's going to be coming out. But a lot of it's out. Out there, people are posting about it, making good memes about it, making good video content about it. Yeah, there's a copy of it there. Yeah.
Yeah. I like hard copies.
It's nice. They're fun. Yeah. It's good that you hold on to that. As always, those things end up being collector's items.
I guess.
After a while.
I have a special edition Pathfinder playtest still in the original plastic. So yeah. I hope it's a collector's item. I think someone, it's like only after I'm dead, right? Then it's worth something.
No. I don't know. But someone posted a picture. There's a copy of the original Pathfinder beta hard copy in the weird like Dungeons and Dragons museum or the role playing game museum that's over at Gen Con. Which so it's cool. Pretty cool. Eventually, stuff like this, you know, ends up in a museum after years and years, decades.
I just like to have it. So.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, makes sense.
And it's like 0.99%, 0.99. It's 0.99 of 1.0 completion rate or something, right? It's like really close to being the final thing, is what it seems like.
So. I mean, I'm sure that there might be tweaks a little bit here and there about like certain abilities or prices or whatever. Who knows? But since it's based on, again, we'll see if we talk about this. It's based on Pathfinder Second Edition, so the core fundamentalness, has been tried and tested already.
Yeah, and that's one of the interesting things I thought about it, because when I'm looking at this book, it is not as big as like it's 260. Two or three pages, you know, the Pathfinder Second Edition core was a lot bigger, but this one says that it requires other books.
Yeah. When it comes out in its full hardcover 1.0 version, it'll have everything you need to play in it.
Okay. So you won't need the player core and the GM core. Yeah.
No, you won't need that. There'll be a, Boom! There'll be a Starfinder player core and a Starfinder GM core.
Right. But the original core book will have enough of the rules that you can just do everything even without those to start, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, with the playtest, I mean, again, that's because it's built off.
Yeah. I get. Yeah.
The three action economy, like, so you look at the playing the game chapter of player core. And it tells you about like all the basic actions, like striding and jumping and leaping and all that. And you don't need to reprint that information if it already exists, because you know it's just it's a playtest, right?
Sure.
It's less pages we have to charge you for.
True, and the PDF is available free. It's really funny, you know. Because I'm moving, my mail was in another place, and I'm thinking, I don't have the hard copy to look at. So I go looking for my PDF of it, because when I buy the hard copy, they give me a PDF. They didn't give me a PDF. You know why?
Because everyone gets the PDF. Because
everybody gets a PDF. You just go to the Paizo website, and you can download the PDF, boom, just like that. So
exactly.
So that's convenient. So that's, as of a couple of days ago, that PDF is available for everyone.
For free.
Free for download.
StarfinderPlaytest.com. go check it out. But we can talk about it. Well, should we talk about that? And then we'll talk about the stuff that they announced, the future stuff they announced at the keynote. Do you want to do the keynote first?
Let's start with the keynote.
Okay, let's start with the keynote.
So, go ahead.
There was a lot of talk about, like, hey, this is out. Cosmic Birthday is out. Empires Devoured will be out in October or something like that. And then the two playtest scenarios that you can play with the pregens are out. I think the playtest scenarios aren't free, but neither is the adventures. Right. But then the main books come out next Gen Con. What do we do? You know, what happens until then? They're going to release a whole new book. Just going to put a book in the middle there.
In May. It's going to come out in May. Yeah.
Galaxy Guide is like a setting primer, but it's going to have rule stuff in it, like ancestries and I think they said archetypes.
Yeah, they said six ancestries in there, six additional ones. Yeah, so including a Dragonkin, the Astrozoan.
Yeah.
They showed some art for that, which I know you were impressed by.
Well, it's terrible and disgusting. I mean, not terrible in the best possible way. I mean,
because they show the transformation. Yeah, it's like,
yeah, they're showing the
transformation.
What Astrozoans look like when they're in between their starfish looking form and whatever it is they're changing into.
I think they could have just left that up to people's imaginations.
Look, we got you know Ken Hamilton, great concept artist. Sometimes we just need him to be disgusting and draw the gross things that we all want to see.
And what was the last one? I forget now.
Kahlo.
Oh, the Kahlo. Yeah. The underwater kind of.
There's going to be three more. They said they might talk about them at the panel that they were doing, but I didn't get a chance to watch the Starfinder roadmap, and that panel's not up on YouTube yet, so I don't know what the other three are.
Mystery.
Fingers crossed, Bantrid gets in there. That's all.
Okay. All right.
That's what I want to see Bantrid, because
you like the little rolling.
I wrote them originally for Pack Worlds.
And I didn't know that. You wrote the rolling nose. Did you concept how it looked as well?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I wanted to do it. It's a mouse ball with a cone shape, and then like these. What was it? They're like sea slug.
Yeah,
I think fronds that act as their appendages.
Yeah.
So, I'll tell you. I don't know if I've told the story before, but the fun story is that I was asked to write a weird ancestry for Pack Worlds because they were going to have. Whatever they did end up having in that one, some of that I can't remember, but I pitched a wagon wheel looking ancestry, and they're like, too weird, just cut it back. Okay, I'll just cut it back. And then when we start, other things come in, and I think maybe in the copy fit stage or something like that, I see that we also have the Astrozoan in there. I'm like, well, that is a starfish with eyeballs on its knees. That's pretty weird too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what did we play? It's been so long. The high level, what's the super high level Starfinder adventure?
The super high level, Devastation Arc.
Yeah, Devastation Arc. Yeah, we played that. Ran into lots of Bantrids. Got to learn too much information about Bantrids and undead Bantrids and all kinds of weird things about Bantrids.
that was the fun part about that, because at the time when we were plotting that out, it was just me and Rob McCreary, and we were like, we both like Bantrids, and we're like, maybe we can do something about Bantrids in here, because we left their background kind of a mystery, and then we filled it in. That's why there's weird undead Bantrids.
Yeah. All right, so you're hoping Bantrids. Hopefully somebody... So three of them. I'm trying to think... What is my favorite? I like Dragon King quite a bit. That's awesome.
Yeah, Dragon King's fun.
Oh. I like Uplifted Bears too, though.
I wonder if they're going to bring those over because, now with Call of the Wild, I'm going to be essentially an awakened anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're going to be count those as Uplifted Bears or whatever. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of the different ones, different ancestries that I really like. Morlamors.
Morlamors. Those are going to show up. If not in Galaxy Guide, they'll show up eventually.
Yeah, that's got to be.
Everyone loves them more than all. Yeah.
All right, so we're just speculating on that. So they announced that, the Galaxy Guide. There's also, after the, what is it? After the whatever devoured, that's the second one. There's, they announced a third one, too.
What's the, Empire's Devoured.
They Empire's didn't... Devoured, and...
They, there's not going to be a third one. Not, for, not a playtest one. There's two scenarios. You're thinking about the two scenarios, Shards of the Glass Planet, and It Came from the Vast.
No, I'm thinking a third thing. I just saw something for that. That's, yeah, because I have It Came from the Vast. I was supposed to run that at Gen Con.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, no. Okay, I see what it is. They're showing the multi-pack. That's what it is.
Yeah. For the two adventures. Yeah.
So I just saw the two adventures, and then that must be for both adventures. Very cool. All right. So they talked about the Galaxy Guide and the GM Core is going to launch at Gen Con next year.
Yeah, they're going to have all Player Core, GM Core, and Alien Core.
All three.
Whether or not all three of them are going to be. I'm not 100% certain, but Alien Core might follow. It's going to follow very soon after. It'll be in the same year for sure.
Right.
Before the end of the year. But it's all sort of like trying to get it all out at once.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Anything else about the keynote Starfinder wise that you're.
They talk about other, like, what adventures are. Well, they didn't actually talk about it. Thirsty mentioned that, like, adventures are, they're still thinking about adventures, what adventures are going to be for Starfinder Second Edition and how they're going to come out, but no real news there. The news comes more about the, after the Second Edition playtest is over, sometime probably in spring, they're going to have the, or maybe even earlier, have the playtest for the Mechanic and Technomancer classes.
Right.
Which will be in a future book, most likely, because it's not going to be in the core player.
Right, they said that as well. Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, speaking of the classes that come with the playtest, so it comes with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 classes.
Six. Mm-hmm.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Operative, Solarian, Soldier, Witchwarper. 6.
All right, I just can't count. You're right. Yeah, so it comes with those 6, which is interesting. I think Witchwarper is kind of the interesting add to that because it wasn't part of the original core.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they wanted more spell casting and they weren't ready to have the Technomancer
in
there. So they needed another spell casting class, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you look at Witchwarper, it actually encompasses precog. Kind of folds precog into it as one of the anchors, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So we might see that happen with like somewhere along the line. Maybe, I mean, whether or not like say Vanguard is going to end up being its own class or like an archetype or something like that, like, you know. Things like that can change because, Pathfinder Second Edition has done that as well. Some of the things that have been talked about, also this Gen Con, basically say, oh, hey, look, the Inquisitor is coming back, sort of, but not really. Mm-hmm. It's got a whole new name, and it's basically just a Ranger class archetype instead of its own class.
Right. Yeah, I think Vanguard would, the way they're reconfiguring the Soldier, I think Vanguard would play really well in that. Though it's a little, it's got some cool mystical power type of thing. So maybe Solarian might be a different thing. You know, kind of how you get to manifest something and do something special with it.
Yeah,
could be. I mean, they could take some of the Vanguard stuff and kind of drive it. You know, the way they the Solarian drives their abilities and
a new revelation. Arrangements, they're called.
Yes.
Is the new Solarian subclass.
Yeah. That's kind of a weird name. And Ancestries, they have some interesting ones. No Bantrids.
Well, no, of course. I wouldn't be wishing for Bantrids to come out in the Galaxy Guide if they were already here.
But, you know, from the Starfinder Core, they have the Android, Human, Kasatha, Lashunta, Sheeran, Vess, Yosoki.
Yeah.
And then they have fan favorite Skidamander.
Yeah.
Sort of fan favorite Patra. I have some friends that really like the Patra quite a bit. The Brathu, which I always thought was really...
That's a weird one.
A big gas bag. Did you make that one too?
No. Okay. Those already existed. Those existed in Pathfinder First Edition, basically.
Oh, I did not know a big gas bag like that existed. That's...
Yeah. I mean, not as a playable anything, right? It was just a creature that we talk about, a creature that exists on Brethida.
Right. And then the Borai, which is a weird, not undead, undead. Personal undead heritage. Soul and the living
body.
And then this last one, this is the one that I think is very interesting, is the Prismeni,
like prism.
Prismeni.
A little any on the end.
Yeah, that I think that's really interesting. So a drift connected being.
That was a very much a later addition to Pathfinder First Edition, one of the latest editions, because it comes out through the Drift Crisis stuff. Mm-hmm. All the Drift Crisis stuff talks about drift, and Prismeni is essentially, since the drift is its own plane, mm-hmm. in First Edition, Prismeni is a planar scion.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
So you're touched by the drift, you know, mm-hmm. basically that kind of stuff. Now it's Urshela Heritage, like all the sort of planar scion stuff is right. in Pathfinder Second Edition. It's great. Borai is a great choice for another new, very Starfinder versatile heritage in a way that, like, it existed in First Edition in the, like, before versatile heritages were a thing, right? In mm-hmm. a way that pre-sages kind of versatile heritages, because you right. pick, you do pick, like, what, you're dead, what were you before? A dwarf, and, you know, an elf, or you know, Vesk, human, the Shunta, you get to pick those from the, pick something, and that's pretty cool to sort of be. It slots into the versatile heritage architecture so easily mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. it's almost like it was meant to be.
Yeah, so somebody was thinking about that when they put it together, probably.
Maybe, I don't know. It was a weird one, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of neat. I mean, kind of to see the different heritage and the different feats you get related to those, so very much customizing your character based a lot more on heritage than, you know, I mean, similar to obviously Pathfinder Second Edition, but way different than in Starfinder, you know, how you would do things. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, no themes anymore. You know, so it's all kind of built around this. So yeah, I think it's kind of cool.
Can I tell you, speaking of that, like I was looking at, since Brathu was a kind of an unusual choice to add in there, something very much not a humanoid. I mean, I think it's cool because it's very much not a humanoid.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, showcasing that Starfinder, you can be all sorts of weird, little weird guys. A 17th level ancestry feat for Brathu is basically you glom onto someone. You just sort of like engulf them. An ally, and just sort of like now you ride along with them and just and act as like cover for them, basically. Ah. And you still do your stuff. Maybe you're gonna, you know, basically your tentacles out there shooting your guns and stuff, but they just sort of like you don't have to, you basically ride someone else like a horse.
Well, you temporarily merge with them.
Yeah, it just feels like it's a big, you just, you're a big gas bag, like you said. Like, how
well, can they sort of ride like, you if you're a big gas bag?
But it doesn't. You don't give them fly speed.
If the target is medium or smaller, their size increases to large, and their reach increases to 10. Sounds like they get a lot of benefits.
They do. They get benefits. I'm not saying it's not. It's just. It's only for the benefits. Like, I guess if you can fly as a Brathu, you can grant them flight. So you can basically, you carry them along, or I just think, just my picture. I'm just picturing it. Just be like the blob. Just kind of like go, hey friend, bloop.
Yes, but you don't liquefy them though.
No, you don't liquefy them. What that means is you don't have to spend any of your actions moving.
Right, right, right.
They move and you go with them.
Yeah, which is fun. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's interesting. I was maybe I'm missing this. It looked like, so if for the Brathu, for example, we're looking at that. So you get a constitution, a wisdom, and a free attribute boost.
Yeah.
With a attribute flaw of dexterity. Isn't that one more boost than we got in Starfinder?
Maybe. Yeah, it was always...
You always got two
with one flaw. About plus two.
Yeah.
But this is the same as Pathfinder, though.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So, it fleshes out to that.
Yeah, how you're building is... And then, based on what class you get, then you get an attribute boost as well. Yep. So, same thing with Pathfinder.
Two from your background.
Yeah. So, from your background, not your class. I thought you got one from your class.
You do. You get one from your class and two from your background and two or three or maybe, it's usually two to three.
Right, depending on, because some only get two with no flaw. I think that's the Lashunta and the human.
Yeah.
And then everybody else gets three, but they get a flaw. Yeah. Well, it's just kind of, again, using the Pathfinder second edition character generation system, mm-hmm. you're really customizing your character way more, even in the creation process, than you were doing under standard Starfinder, the first edition.
Yeah, so I just see that.
It's kind of cool.
I am just noticing this as well about the Barathu, is they get to fly right away. It's something that is a little different than in Pathfinder because I think I heard them talking about that, saying that Starfinder has a lot more focus on range weapons, so being able to fly is not going to be as much of a game breaker. And it was something in Starfinder First Edition too. You get flight with like jetpacks and stuff, and you know, playable species right off the bat in some cases. So this is the sort of another way to show off how Starfinder has its own little differences. Why not have a fly speed of 20 feet? You're a gas bag.
Yes.
It is interesting, though, that they have a regular speed of 25 feet, which is pretty normal. I guess they're on land speed, right? I guess
they can walk in their tentacles.
Pretty fast, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so interesting stuff. I really like the Patra species, but when I look at the Patra artwork here, it is, I don't know how to characterize that. It's like Puss in Boots, you know? it's not the same kind of look. Like, it's not like a tiger or a lion, you know, that's now been made into a humanoid form.
I bet we're going to see like different, like some variations on that,
and
as you look. I mean, because if you, I want to say, is there any more of the Patras in here? And there's obviously the new Solarian Iconic is a Patra, and
they and that one looks different. Yeah, for sure.
A little different. Oh, here, if you go page 80, there's a, what is this? A Mystic Patra, it looks like.
Yeah, see, that's a little more what they look like before. And then, like, I mean, there's other game systems that have like a creature that's similar to a Patra. They actually look more like that when they talk about the Patra species. You know, they're more comic booky than the Patra has been in Starfinder. So I just thought it was kind of interesting.
It's going to be, you know, different arts.
Yeah, different artists and interpretations and how they do stuff. So. Very interesting. I was looking at Operative. Was the first class I played in Starfinder back in the day, going through Dead Sons with Ron and Scott and Mark, you know, Mark as well, couple other folks. And it's interesting the kind of the different. So Operatives have specializations now. The different archetypes, whatever you call them. What do you call those?
The subclasses?
Subclasses. Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting seeing... Well, they still have specializations here as well.
Yeah, it's that's what it's called. It's still called that.
Yeah.
But it's just the same. It's just a subclass that lets you do different... Slightly, you know, gives you a unique action, it looks like.
Right. Yeah, it's a bit more... it seems more developed, I guess, than when the Starfinder first came out. You know, so looking at the operative specializations versus now these subclasses, which are still specializations, but just seems a little bit, more refined, I guess.
How to move it over to second edition, you know, 2E architecture, right? You know, you have these subclasses that do a little something special,
right?
You know, you can look at any number of the Pathfinder 2E classes and see subclasses that, a lot of them work, you know, don't all work the same, right? You know, obviously, but like something like an investigator subclasses, this almost seems like what it's like. You get a little, maybe a specialty action,
right.
No one else gets.
Oh, you know what I didn't look at here? Maybe you know this. Do under spells, do we get scaling cantrips?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Why wouldn't we?
I don't know. I was hoping so because those are awesome.
Yeah, they're great. You can, I bet some of them, I think I did notice it's like Mystic and Witch Warper when they say like, oh, you'll get this subclass gives you these extra spells. Some of them are from player core. So,
interesting. If
they're cantrips, they've got to be scaling. So they kind of mix and match here. But let's find one that is a scaling cantrip that looks like it might be good. Eldritch Lance. That's new.
That sounds cool. Sounds like Eldritch Blast, but it's poke it.
Okay. Mental damage. It's a range attack against AC. It's a cantrip, right? Two actions. If you hit, you deal 2d6 mental damage. And then every level, it goes up by 1d6. Huh. So pretty standard scaling cantrip.
Yeah. No. That's makes them so much more useful. That's great.
Well, yeah. It was the goal of the second edition would be like, you want to make sure that because a fighter can always swing their sword. They never run out of sword swings in a day, right? So why not give the spellcasters this thing that they can do that they could never run out of as a sort of a backup option? Not even a backup, just sort of like, hey, it could be you're just sort of, you can't think of anything else to do, cast one of your cantrips that does damage. So it should, like a fighter's sword swing when they get their runes and their other things, special weapon specialization and stuff like that, go up, you know, do more damage, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I, awesome.
Do the right amount of damage, I should say, not more damage. The correct amount of damage for whatever you're trying to fight at that level, right?
The balanced amount of damage for the creatures
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, they carry over a lot of the weapons from Starfinder First Edition, and the art's similar.
Some of this art's from First Edition and other things that I recognize a lot of them. But that's fine. You know, I'm sure that this is obviously not the final. Whether or not.
Have they changed grenades though? I always thought grenades were not very useful.
They appear to be more like alchemist bombs, just from a glance.
Yeah, so they give some damage and some critical effects. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're cheaper though.
Yeah, I'm sure. I bet they're cheaper.
Yeah, well, like a zero level incinerate grenade is 10 credits. That's really cheap.
Yeah. Okay. It's a two action. Okay. This is interesting. You have to do, it takes you two actions to throw a grenade, it looks like.
Oh, really?
Because the area fire action is a thing. It is your class DC plus if there's a tracking value on the weapon. That's interesting. You don't roll attack roll, you just chuck it. So it's like they're like little mini spells, right? So that's why they take two actions.
Yeah. All right.
I wonder, though. I wonder if that, it doesn't look like it, but it does look like you'll have to still have to take a grenade out in your hand.
Oh, as an action. So that would be three. So here I'm saying like incendiary grenade, it says activate area fire, and it's just showing one action.
Oh, does it now? Well, let's, I wonder which is right.
Where are you seeing two actions?
I went back and looked at what the description of what the area fire action is.
Oh.
Two actions.
Huh.
Wait, I've lost where grenades are. There they are. You're right, it is one action.
Except for grenade launcher, it's two actions.
The grenade launcher, but that's because it's already in your grenade. It's already in the weapon. Right?
So why would it be two actions?
To shoot? Just because it's an area effect, like for balance purposes, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know. So it's probably, it's two actions to, I guess, to draw and throw a grenade.
Right.
If you have it already in the grenade launcher.
Okay, that makes sense then. Yeah, so if you still, so drawing a weapon is one action, activating it, tossing it, yeah. I guess. Yeah, yeah. All right.
Okay.
Interesting.
That's good. Yeah. That's like an alchemist bomb. You got to draw it and throw it. And so I imagine somewhere in these feats is a draw and throw a grenade is one action.
Right, right.
Situation. Maybe under soldier, maybe under operative. I you know. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. And I heard, and I see it here. So, like for armor upgrades, it is an upgrade to have environmental protection. So, not all armor automatically comes with it. Mm-hmm. So, that's a zero level upgrade, costs 10 credits. Seems like everybody would have that.
Yeah. You probably want to have that.
10 credits to protect you against vacuum of space. Light bulk, interesting. What I was wondering though, maybe this would be under equipment. One of the things I didn't like about Starfinder is you couldn't upgrade your weapons and armor. You always had to sell and buy. And
right. No, I mean this stuff has, I forget what they called it, but yeah, you can upgrade your weapons.
I mean, there's weapon up. So instead of fusions, they have weapon upgrades that you can add. But is there like a, plus one striking upgrade or anything like that?
There has to be. Let's find it. There. No, those are Solarian crystals. I went too far. Maybe it's under just weapons. I think what happens is. There is, if you go to the weapons themselves, which are somewhere in here, where are they? Where are all the weapons? Shields. Okay, they must come right here. All right. Descriptions.
170 is three weapons. Describes them. Multi-attack penalties, -5, -10. I like that a lot. Damage rolls, critical hits. Natural 20 is one, or exceeded by 10. I like that.
Classic.
Improvised weapons, weapon stats, range, reload, bulk.
Here we go. Okay. Go page 182. At the bottom of the table, there's weapon improvements.
Oh, improvements.
Yes. So what this does, it adds the tracking trait, and it says, and also adds a damage die at a certain point. So like commercial is what you get when you buy a weapon.
Right.
You get a commercial laser pistol, and then you can upgrade that to a tactical laser pistol to give it a +1 to hit. Tracking +1 is essentially like an item bonus. It looks like.
Right. Right. Right.
And then you get an advanced. You upgrade it to an advanced laser pistol. And then you deal 2 dice of damage, and it lets you add an additional upgrade to the weapon.
Right, and that assumes you were at the previous level, so you've already spent from 2 to 3. You've already spent 350. You get 650 more.
Right, right. So, but it does list the total value After that, if you're just buying, if you want to buy it straight out, because
I see,
or making a fifth level character or whatever, right?
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I see. And the math adds up. I like that a lot better. Rather than having to sell your trusty laser pistol, now you can improve it and keep it. You know, so
yeah,
you know, Chewie can keep that crossbow blaster forever, rather than having to trade it in every other level. You know.
I mean, it was always like, yeah, getting different weapons because that's what you found. And, oh, this one does more damage now, but it's an ice gun. And I,
right.
But,
right.
You know, always tricky. But now you can just sort of keep up.
But it's still nice to have a variety of weapons, but oh, now sure. You don't have to keep, you know, trading up. And does it say anything about selling stuff? I'm wondering if that is 10% or 50% or
how that's balanced. Whatever it is in... Pathfinder.
Okay.
Which I think is 50%.
I thought it was 50 in Pathfinder.
Yeah, that's what I'm pretty sure it is. Upgrading equipment, improving equipment. Not seeing it right now.
Credits. Now, do they have the same thing for armor upgrading? That's the other. Armor improvements. Do they have that?
Yes.
Pages add sure on. Do.
166. Gives you extra little item bonus.
Yes.
Little extra bonus to the AC, and you get the resilient trait.
Nice.
Kind of faster, I think, than you do. Well,
you have a lot more... elemental damage and crazy stuff in Starfinder. So,
well, yeah, this is just for all your saving throws is what resilient usually is.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah,
that's good to know. Those are two of the things that nobody really talked about, but I was really hoping we're going to make it in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it kind of... I wouldn't know how you would do it. If you have the same exact basic math as Pathfinder Second Edition and your weapons don't get better, your armor doesn't get, you don't have the ability to make them better.
Right, right, right.
You can't win. Mm-hmm. You know.
Very good. Well, this is exciting. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. So are we going to, are our Intrepid Heroes going to start with this book?
Yeah, we're going to start with Cosmic Birthday.
Nice.
I am real curious as to what y'all want to play. Do you think you're going to start off with an operative again,
John? No, because everybody wants to start off with an operative. I'll just take whatever's left.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's six of us players and six classes. Yep. I think we're going to have a session zero here in just a little over a week.
A little over, yep.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting. And we'll pick and choose. Yeah, I think Witchwarper would be kind of fun. Ron played a precog in our Horizons of the Vast campaign.
I remember.
And I thought it was really cool, really versatile. So it'd be interesting to see kind of the Witchwarper precog kind of combo there.
Yeah, they've got some fun, like warp. Witchwarpers look like they get something called warp spells, which are their focus spells, right?
Right.
They have some fun looking time-based focus spells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, but we'll see. You know, we have an interesting crew. Which those games aren't going to be out for a while, though. So because I just so tomorrow, which is when this gets posted, will be 3 days. Earlier.
Before. Okay. Sure.
Is episode, I think 8 might have gone up. Maybe it's 9. I think it's 8. And I think we finished with 16.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So that's.
Feel free to, you know, I mean, you've got to edit them, but, you know, put them out quicker.
I don't know. Well, no. I used to do those weekly. And the No Direction Network. Wanted every other week.
Okay, fair.
And so that's what we did. They're our network, and that's how they do stuff every other week. That's fine.
What if they what if we alternated? Once we got a couple sessions of Cosmic Birthday under our belts, what if you alternated between?
That would really confuse listeners. What I might do is see if I can relabel that one as just, I mean, we're calling Intrepid Scoundrels, right, and leave that running and start up Intrepid Heroes again.
There you go.
So, but that'll be, I have a month to think about that. So I'll,
yes,
I can work on after Gen Con. Ryan might be a little bit more amenable. He's done a whole bunch of stuff for Renegade Studios, and I'm sure he's probably in a really good mood lately. So I'll get him while he's in
good mood. Hopefully. Yeah. Well, you know, we want an Annie.
I know.
We want to judge a spotlight Annie. Yeah. So
you guys did good. I am now a gold medal Annie winner. Oh,
that's right.
As well.
You're in there, weren't you?
Yes, me and 39 other people.
Hey, look.
For the Tianche World Guide. Yeah.
It all counts. It all counts. Yeah, it is. Congrats.
And I had some really big parts in that, or a really big part.
Fair enough.
Which, I was excited. That's pretty cool. There's a Discord we have where we talk about stuff, contributors and things like that.
Yeah.
And apparently you can order a medal. You can order, if you were there, you could buy the medal.
Right.
But apparently you can order it as well. So I need to figure out that they were hoping that Paizo was going to buy them, but I can't see Paizo spending that kind of money to.
It's a lot of, I don't know how much they cost, but also
they're $25 each. So, it'd be $1,000. So we'll see. You never know.
Just standing the mound. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, probably not though. But yeah, now I have to amend my resume to include that. So.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Well, Jason, it's been fun chatting with you, and no Ron today, but we managed to pull it off even without that that guy.
We did it before, and we'll do it again.
Yes.
You hear me, Ron? I know you're listening to this.
Well,
you're on thin ice, mister.
You'll hear you Thursday.
Eventually he'll hear me. I know he's listening.
Well, I'm John.
And I'm Jason, and this has been Digital Divination.